We're told it was another famous son of Chicago, the architect Daniel H. Burnham, who advised, "Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood." Albert G. Spaulding surely would have agreed, "Grand plans, historic, monumental, and unprecedented plans," were precisely what he had in mind when he welcomed select members of the Chicago sporting press into his private office on the afternoon of March 24, 1888. As the reporters filled the large wood-paneled room, they found the young magnate standing before a tall window, casually reviewing the crowds bustling along Madison Street below. Perched on the broad desk in front of him, and strategically oriented so the reporters could not help but see it, was an overseas telegram Spaulding had received earlier that morning. The dateline read, "Sydney, NSW, Australia," and the message consisted of but one word, "Kenwood." There was an awkward moment of silence in the room, only broken when Sporting Times reporter DeWitt Ray blurted out, "Sydney, New South Wales? Who do you know there?" Spaulding smiled coyly, but he didn't respond. "Who's Kenwood?" Still the smile, but nothing more. Ray pressed on, and the magnate harried until he felt he had built ample tension in the room. "That name, Kenwood, means in October or November next, I shall sail from San Francisco for Australia with the largest company of ball players that ever plowed salt water." Spaulding had been parsing that sentence in his mind for much of the day, and when he finally uncorked it, he was pleased with both his delivery and its dramatic effect. Taking 20-odd baseball players and a supporting cast nearly as large halfway around the world was no small undertaking, and would come at considerable expense. Facts Spaulding was only too happy to make clear to his audience. The trip, he estimated, would cost a minimum of $30,000, a sum he would fund out of his own pocket. "I have such faith in the drawing attraction of the ball playing we shall afford our Australian friends that I prefer to assume the entire responsibility," he told the group. Two teams would make the journey. Spaulding's own club, the Chicago White Stockings, they were the New York Yankees of their day, having won 5 championships in the 1880s, and a squad of stars, the All-Americas, handpicked from the other National League teams. His plan was to depart from Chicago in October, immediately after the World Series, barnstorm through the cities of the West, playing exhibitions, and then steam across the Pacific to Australia, where the teams would introduce the game of baseball to their colonial brethren. With this mission accomplished, they would retrace their steps home. Spaulding's carefully orchestrated performance worked just as he had intended. The next day, papers across the country picked up a story featuring baseball's most daring executive and his grand plan to export the national game across the Pacific. The New York Times ran it on page 2. "American baseball players are to invade Australia." A San Francisco Call headline dubbed the trip a bold venture. In the Pioneer Press of St. Paul, the boomer A.G. Spaulding has again come to the front with one of the greatest baseball moves in the history of the game. The famous baseball genius has been at work for several months on a plan to carry the game into foreign fields, make it known and popular at the furthest ends of the earth, and at the same time bring back a bountiful store of dollars. He couldn't have said it better himself. That from the study, Spaulding's World Tour, the epic adventure that took baseball around the world and made it America's game, by Mark Lamster. What's fascinating to learn is that nearly 110 years after the global adventure, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum received the donation of an unsigned diary kept by a member of that expedition. Tom Schieber is senior curator of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, and he will pay a visit to the University of Scranton on October 20th to present a program titled Around the World with A.G. Spaulding, The Mystery of an 1888-89 Tourist's Diary, with artifacts and rare ephemera from that journey, and the detective work that went into solving the mystery of that intriguing diary. Tom Schieber's presentation is part of the Fall 2025 offerings of the Schemmel Forum at the University of Scranton. Dr. George Alessio is Dean of the Weinberg Memorial Library and Director of the Schemmel Forum, and he stopped in at the WVIA studios to invite us to this season's events.
The Schemmel Forum is a program for community education and cultural enrichment that the University of Scranton hosts. It comes in sort of a variety of programming forms throughout the semester. So usually we host several short courses, several luncheons, and several collaborative programs that are often hosted in the evenings. And the new thing that we've been doing is one special event in the fall semester and one special event in the spring semester as well.
And you do really span a wide variety of topics, drawing on your own faculty, but also bringing in other experts.
Yes, we have been trying to branch out as much as possible into the arts, into culture, into politics, into world affairs in general, and just making sure that we're sort of touching all the bases and all the areas of interest that our community has. And a lot of the speakers that I bring in now come to me by way of recommendation even. So, you know, if you have someone that you're interested in seeing speak at the University of Scranton, please let me know and I'll see what I can do. No promises, of course, but I try my best to bring in a world-class speakers and also our own world-class faculty at the university as well, just making sure that they could present on the topics that they want to present.
Well, give us an example of some of these guests this term.
Okay, so we'll be hosting four World Affairs Luncheon seminars this semester. Our first one will be Global Insights from Poland's Consul General, where we will be hosting the Consul General of the Republic of Poland, who is stationed in New York. His name is Mateusz Sakowicz, and he's going to tell us all about the role Poland is playing in international affairs and the role that Poland plays in the world. Obviously, Poland is in an interesting place in the world right now, and they're dealing with lots of transatlantic relationship issues, of course, relationship issues with Russia as well, very near Ukraine, of course. So I'm sure he'll have lots of insights to share with us about the situation in Ukraine as well, the war in Ukraine. Then our next lecture will be on Monday, October 20th, where we have Tom Schieber. He's the senior curator at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, New York. He's going to be giving us a lecture on Around the World with A.G. Spaulding, The Mystery of an 1888 to 1889 Tourist Diary. So this is an interesting history lecture, actually, where we have a curator of a museum come to us with these tourist diaries that they have in their possession. And he did a lot of research into, well, who could these diaries be written by, basically. And he's going to unveil that mystery for us. So I'm excited to hear that one. Yeah. And I think it actually still connects back to the types of lectures that we've been doing for a long time, because this is a world tour that this diary was on. So we're going to get to hear about the places the diarist was and what was going on in 1888 and 1889. Thursday, October 30th, we have New Discoveries of the Penn Museum Excavations at Abydos, Egypt by Joseph Wegner. He's a professor of Egyptian archaeology and the chair of the Department of Middle Eastern Languages and Cultures at the University of Pennsylvania, and he is the curator of the Egyptian section at the Penn Museum. We're excited to bring Dr. Wegner back. His first presentation was hugely popular with our guests that day, and when I suggested that we bring him back, there was practically a standing ovation and round of applause. Dr. Wegner basically got to talk a little bit about the roots of the Penn Museum, how it formed, and the role Pennsylvania has played in Egypt. But this second piece to his talk will actually get into these discoveries that they've made recently. So Thursday, November 20th, we have Matthew Duss, Executive Director, Center for International Policy, former visiting scholar, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, will be giving us a presentation on America is ready for a pro-peace foreign policy is Washington. And obviously, this is something that's on the hearts and minds of many. America's been at war pretty much throughout my entire lifetime at this point. And we hear a lot of sentiment changing around attitudes regarding America's role when it comes to the military and war overseas. So be interested to hear Mr. Duss's talk and presentation, is especially drawing from his expertise with the Center for International Policy and being a former Carnegie Scholar for International Peace.
Please describe for us the World Affairs Luncheon format.
Yeah, so we have a very formalized schedule, but it is an informal affair. Everybody's, of course, welcome. It's not suit and tie or anything like that. But basically what we do is from 11:30 to about noon, we have lunch. And of course, if you're not finished eating, you can continue eating. But lunch is served 11:30 to 12. And then at 12, I do a short introduction to introduce the speaker and bring them up to the podium. And then they speak from 12 to roughly 12:45. And then they reserve at least 15 minutes for questions from the audience. So that's always a lively part of the presentation, and one that many people really look forward to, is the opportunity to speak with our guests and ask them questions.
And that's just one aspect, as you suggest, mm-hmm. of the Schemmel Forum,
yeah.
the World Affairs Luncheons. But what else do you have?
Yeah, so immediately coming up for us is our University for a Day event. So this is one of those special events that I was speaking about. It's basically giving you a taste of what it's like to be a university student, whether you are a high school student interested in attending university, or whether you're someone who went to college many years ago and just want to remember what it's like, or maybe you didn't have the opportunity to and now you're curious what it's all about. University for a Day gives you that opportunity. So what we've put together is basically four classes by four different university professors, and it's capped in the morning with a breakfast. We have a lunch in the cafeteria in the afternoon, and then we're going to end the day with a little bit of a group discussion about sort of what we learned or what we'd like to see moving forward as well. Our four classes and professors are Roots and Remedies for Health Disparities in the United States by Anna Jaskiewicz. She's Assistant Professor of Economics, Finance, and International Business. We have Gorillas, Ghosts, and Gods, Networks of Belonging in Africa by Dr. Cyrus Olson, Associate Professor of Theology and Religious Studies. We have Natives, Immigrants, and Nationalism, John Babst, The Penobscot, and the Politics of Intolerance in the 19th Century U.S. by David Zirk, who is our Associate Provost and a Professor of History. And we have The Power of Small Changes, Food, Activity, and Quality of Life by Dr. Joan Grossman, Professor of Health and Human Performance. I'm also really excited for this University for a Day because we have representation from all of the university's colleges. So we have the College of Arts and Sciences, we have the Konya School of Management, and we have the Leahy College of Health Sciences all represented in our speakers on that day.
And to register, it would be the same as we'd go to the Schemmel website.
Yes. Yep. You can go to scranton.edu/Schemmel Forum, and there will be links to register. You can also call our office at 570-941-4740, and we'll be happy to register you for that day. And thanks to a generous grant from Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, high school juniors and seniors in our area could attend for free. So if you're interested in coming to the University of Scranton, now's your chance to see what it's all about. So please call in advance. We have room for 50 high school students.
You have other courses, though, don't you?
We do. So we also are hosting two evening short courses this semester. The first one, which already started, is American Mothers, Society, Science, and Maternity After the Civil War, hosted by Susan Polson, Dr. Susan Polson, Professor of History. And the course is going to explore exactly what the title says, from public perception of maternity to the creation of the federal Mother's Day holiday, talking about women's rights campaigns to claim political power, Gilded Age conflicts over birth control and abortion, and the 1914 adoption of a Mother's Day holiday that celebrates women's domesticity. So that course is already underway. It's already getting rave reviews from the people that are attending it. They are loving it. And Dr. Polson is thinking about turning this into a 4-credit course, I believe, that the university will host in the future. And then beginning on October 20th, which is Monday, Dr. Michael Jenkins, Professor of Criminal Justice and Chair of the Department of Criminal Justice, Cybersecurity, and Sociology at the University of Scranton, We'll be teaching a class called Criminal Street Gangs, Causes, Consequences, and Controls. So sort of parsing out what the media tells us about gangs, Dr. Jenkins is, of course, an expert on this topic, and we'll really get down to what the data says, what the truth of the matter is. And he's going to provide clarity on what is or is not a gang and their relation to crime. He's going to explain how that's vital to preventing any problems that might arise from gangs in neighborhoods. And the course will discuss criminological theories related to an understanding of gang involvement in crime, distinguish the characteristics of criminal street gangs, and review the literature on and practice of gang prevention, intervention, and suppression methods. So another class I think is going to be very popular. And then we have two evening collaborative programs. I'm going to start with the one that I have a date set for Thursday, November 13th, with the Friends of the Weinberg Memorial Library. We're going to be doing a lecture, exhibit, and reception. The lecture is going to be called From Manuscript to Print, The Journey of Medieval Books. The lecture will be delivered by Michael Neese. He's Special Collections Librarian and University Archivist for the Weinberg Memorial Library and the University of Scranton. The lecture and exhibit are going to be held in the Charles Kratz Scranton Heritage Room of the Weinberg Memorial Library on the fifth floor, starting at 5:30 p.m. And basically, the exhibit is going to showcase the medieval manuscripts, leaves, and printed books that we have in the special collections, the McHugh Family Special Collections of the Weinberg Memorial Library of the University of Scranton. And sort of the impetus of this exhibit and this lecture is that we've recently received our earliest printed book in our collection, a circa 1470 manuscript titled Dialogue on the Dignity of the Priesthood by St. Johannes Chrysostomos. And this gift came to us from Edward R. Leahy, class of 68. He's been a great philanthropist for the University of Scranton. He's a great book collector, and he's been generous with his collection as well and helping us to grow our collection. So we hope to see you there for that event and to see our fantastic collection. And then our last collaborative program of the season, and I'm fairly certain this will come last in the season for us, will be with the J. Nathan PhD Visiting Scholar Lecture Series Endowment. We'll be hosting the ambassador from Finland to the United States to present on her home country of Finland. This is the ninth presentation in the J. Nathan PhD Visiting Lecture Series, where we bring an ambassador to the United States, to the University of Scranton, to share information about their country, to talk about relations between the United States and their home country, and also to share their culture with us as well. We often have a cultural component. We always have a cultural component that's tied to this event, so we'll have the lecture from the ambassador followed by the cultural component, which is to be determined at this point, but last time we had jazz players, and we've had dancers in the past. We've had a violinist. It's to be determined, but we will certainly have a cultural component. And after the lecture and the performance, we will have a reception with the ambassador and any guests that the ambassador brings with her, where we'll get to enjoy some fine Finnish food as well. So we hope you can join us for that event as well. The date and time is to be determined. I'm fairly certain I'm narrowing in on a date. The ambassador's schedule is very busy, but I think we're looking at sometime in January at this point.
Dr. George Alessio, Dean of the Weinberg Memorial Library and Director of the Schemmel Forum at the University of Scranton, stopping in at the WVIA studios to give us a preview of the upcoming season, fall 2025, of the Schemmel Forum. For more information on the web, scranton.edu/Schemmel Forum, S-C-H-E-M-E-L, Forum, scranton.edu/Schemmel Forum, S-C-H-E-M-E-L. The program with the senior curator at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown will be Monday, October 20th in Brennan Hall. That starts at 11:30 a.m. And as you heard, there are many other programs. scranton.edu slash Schemmel Forum for all the information you need and to register for any or all of the programs in the fall 2025 season.